Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to read the first three verses in a moment. This morning I want to talk about a simple little title called Rise Up. It's what we've been asking people to do all 3 weeks at camp early in the morning. Rise up. Get up. Get up. Get up. I want to talk about rising up in the sense of the challenges that perhaps we face. We've been preaching out of the book of Revelation the last few weeks, and I'm sure as John was on the island of Patmos, the Lord woke him up and said, "Rise up, I want to give you a vision." It's like John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress while he was in prison. "As I slept, I dreamed a dream. The Lord said, rise up, I'm going to give you something spectacular." When the Lord speaks to us to rise up, he's got something in mind. William Booth, the Booths in England, saw the abstract poverty in their community and felt like somehow God, they could do something about it. And the Lord spoke to him about rising up and doing what he could do. And so he did, and formed the Salvation Army. And we know today how impacting that is, from simply a man and a woman rising up and saying, "Lord, what can we do?" I think we too must be people who will rise up and accept the challenges that lie before us. I think probably of the utmost importance, we need to be people who will rise up, not take a behind the door posture, not a hideaway posture, but a posture of rising up and take on the challenge of our family, of our family. How many know your family is important today? Amen. Amen. Now, you may not always get along with your family, but how many know they're God's gift to you, right? Amen. They're God's gift to you. And sometimes those families are under challenge. And so you have to rise up and say, "I'm going to take on that challenge. And with God's help, we're going to make sure that our families are taken care of, that our families are helped, that our families are strengthened." There comes times when we have to rise up and meet the challenges of our community. Our community. How many know that communities have challenges, right? Battleground has some of those even now. In October, as I mentioned before, a number of our local churches are working together on a sermon series that we're all going to be preaching for 4 weeks. A number of our churches are going to be doing that together. And the emphasis of that is going to be serving our community and reaching people for the Lord. And one of the things that we want to do on October 19th is have a day of service where our churches can come and help our community and do whatever is needed. I texted the mayor the other day and asked him, at the request of our pastors, what projects are there in our community that the churches can help you do? And so we're lining those things out even now, and I hope you can be involved. There are times when we need to rise up and meet the challenges of our own spiritual life. How many know what I'm talking about when I say that sometimes in your spiritual life you go through a desert experience? Anybody understand that? I don't use that term, so some of you don't. It's those times when you just don't feel anything. You're going through the motions. You feel as if, you know, you read the Bible and it just falls off the table. The letters fall off the table. You try to pray and you just can't pray. You feel like you're in a spiritual desert. How many know it is important to rise up at times like that and not give up? Amen? And not give up. Because there will be moments like that. Because God builds people. God does something for people in the desert experiences of our spiritual life. Many people, during a time of a desert experience, will, rather than rise up, they'll lay down. They'll just give up. They'll throw in the towel. That's not what God wants us to do. The enemy would like us to do that. But we need to rise up and take on the challenge of our spiritual life. And even though we may read the scriptures and it just doesn't seem to be speaking anything. How many know that even when you read it, it is important? Amen? Even if you don't feel anything, it is important. How many has ever eaten a meal you didn't like? Huh? More hands than I had a while ago. When I was a little boy, one of the towns, the many towns I lived in, was called Keys, California. Anyone ever hear of Keys, California? Keys. K-E-Y-E-S. K-E-Y-S. Jim, you're about the only one. It is a little off-the-road place on the old 99 going through Central California. We live there. It's where I was baptized in water in a canal in Keys, California. And we got up one morning, and all there was in the house to eat was oatmeal. And at the time, I hated oatmeal. I couldn't stand, I mean, you know, oatmeal, Cocoa Puffs, oatmeal, Cocoa Puffs. Well, all we had was oatmeal. So I went down to a local service station of a gentleman that I'd befriended, and I asked him if I could borrow some money to buy some breakfast. And we didn't have a whole lot, and he asked me what we had in the house, and I said we had oatmeal was all we had. He said, you go home and eat that oatmeal. That's better for you than what you're going to buy if I give you any money. And so you eat a meal that's not good for you, but how many know if you're eating food, you're getting nourishment, right? You may not like it, you may not feel like it. You know, there is some value in tater tot casseroles. Come on. Amen. So our spiritual lives need to be taken care of. We need to rise up and meet the challenges of your ministry. If some of you are in ministry, if you work in our Sunday school department, our youth, or nursery, or whatever it is, it's a ministry. Maybe it's a ministry in your neighborhood. There are times when it comes under attack as well. Our camping ministry that we have, we need to rise up and meet the challenges of it. And finally, sometimes there's a challenge to the kingdom of God. We're living in a day right now where the kingdom of God is being challenged. Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God, and he said it would suffer violence. I believe we are living in a day when the kingdom of God is suffering violence. It is under attack. It is being ridiculed. It is being spoken against. There is such an attempt to try to silence the Christian message and the Christian voice. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And so I think there are times when we need to rise up and meet the challenges of the kingdom of God. Amen? And have an even stronger voice. Have an even stronger attempts to be able to defend the faith, which the Bible says that we will have to do. Many of you have heard of Ben Carson. He was a presidential candidate for a number of years, a very strong believer in Jesus Christ. Serves on our president's cabinet, I believe, as the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And that's kind of an area that he was experienced in, being raised in extreme poverty. But he had a mother who loved the Lord, and she believed in education. And she told her boys that, you know, you can accomplish things. You don't have to be what everyone else is. And so when other kids maybe were allowed to roam the streets, they had to stay home and they had to read books. And you've maybe heard the story or read his autobiography. But at the end of the day, he ended up being able to go to college, thankfully, because of some help with the system we have in our government. But his mother taught him, you can rise above your circumstances. You can rise above where you are. And Ben Carson did. He rose up and became a famous neurosurgeon operating on babies within the womb. Is that incredible? And he was able to do it with the help of the Lord, with the help of his mother, but with the help of the Lord. Saw the need. Right here in our own church, we have people who have rose up to meet the challenges of their life, and God has supplied the help that they needed. When you decide it's time to rise up, when you decide it's time to rise up for your family or your community, your spiritual life, the kingdom of God, whatever it is, God will help you. He will supply the needs that you need to rise up and accomplish it. And I wish I had time to tell you stories. Sitting right here, some of you sitting right here, I could point you out, I could tell part of your story of how you were down and the enemy wanted to keep you down, but you rose above it. You decided to rise up Rise up. The song says, rise up, O men of God, for you the church doth wait. Her task unequal to her strength, rise up and make her great. We could sing that for all of us. There comes a time when we need to rise up and say, we're going to change things. We're going to be different. We're going to accomplish things. What does it mean to rise up? What does it mean to rise up? Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and this his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This was written at a time when there was extreme darkness throughout the land. And I'm not talking about physical darkness. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. And God gave through Isaiah a promise that the people would be able to rise up because the glory of the Lord was about to be poured out. The glory of the Lord was about to accomplish something. And God would arise along with them. And together they could see the darkness dissipate. I believe if ever there's a time for God's people to arise, shine, because our light has come, it is today. It's a day that we need to rise up in all of those areas that I've mentioned. What does it mean to rise up? Number one, I think we need to take a good look at where we are in life. Where are we in life? I talked to someone the other day, and they said, I'm retired now. And when they were talking to me, I'm thinking to myself, I'm just tired. 3 weeks of camps, right? Washing the dishes, doing the salad bar, counseling the kids, whatever. We're tired. All of our volunteers at camp would love to retire right now. Make Eddie send you to Hawaii, I'm telling you. We had a little joke in the kitchen. 3 strikes and you're out of here. You're on the next plane to Maui. I tell you, the mistakes just started happening like crazy. They're going to take us up on it. But I was talking to him. He says, I'm retired now. And he said, the danger of retirement, of where we are, a number of you are in that position, either going to be or are right now. The danger of that position is that you decide you'll spend the rest of your days rocking in a rocking chair. And I love rocking chairs. Boy, when I go to Cracker Barrel, lead me to that rocking chair, especially afterwards, and don't bother me till I've had my nap, all right? But the problem is if we're there in life and we don't get busy and we don't do other things and we just become real sedentary, then we'll be gone long before we should be. We need to see where we are in life. If you're a young person here today, look at yourself. Where are you in life? You're just starting out, maybe you just finished college, just got married, or whatever. Where are you in life? And ask yourself, are you where you want to be? Is this where you want to be, or is there something more? I think if we were to look at retirees, an incredible number of retirees have done incredible things after they have retired. Because they have the time to do it, and they have the smarts to do it, all right? How many wish you had the smarts you have now back when you were 20? Amen. Would that have helped a lot of problems? Boy, I know it would be for me. I remember the first thing I bought on contract after my car that I bought, my little car, my senior year of high school. You know, that was my first experience with contracts where you had to sign on the dotted line. And I learned what it meant to make a payment of $400 and 6 cents go to the principal. something like that. I learned what that was. But the second one is, I can still remember the name of the company, National Advertised Products. And boy, the salesman was so slick. He just sold it to me right now. I paid for that mistake for 3 solid years. Every month I paid for that mistake. Matter of fact, I can't even tell you to this day. You can ask Cheryl. I don't know what we bought. But looking back now, if I would have known then what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. All right. But how many know that you learn as you grow, right? You make some mistakes. You're smiling. So you learn by those mistakes. But ask yourself, where are you in life right now? If you're a young and just getting started, if I could advise you anything, I would advise you to get as close as you can to Jesus. Make your finances, invest in the kingdom of God, become a tither, trust the Lord for the Malachi 3:16 promise that he would pour out a blessing that you would not be able to contain it. I would advise you to talk to older people and heed their advice. I would advise you to find someone you trust that could mentor you and help you so that you could avoid some of the mistakes, you know, that we made. And I would advise you, don't be too proud to say, I'm sorry and that I've made a mistake. I wish I had time, I don't, to go further. In Joshua chapter 1, God was about ready to send Joshua on the experience of a lifetime into the promised land. Moses was gone, and Joshua was discouraged. You can look that up later if you'd like. And in that discouraged situation, the Lord came to him, and he said to him, Joshua, take off the shoe from off your foot, for the ground you're standing on is holy. I'm going to do for you what I did for Moses. I'm going to send you into the promised land, and you're going to take the land. You're going to take it. And you're going to do it through my strength and my help. But if you read that passage carefully, Joshua was a discouraged man. Are you discouraged today? Whether you're retired, middle-aged, whether you're a young couple just starting out, are you discouraged? If you're discouraged, it could be time for you to rise up. Amen? How many has ever been discouraged before? Come on, help me out. All right? What do you do when you're discouraged? You look to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I change this? And that's what the Lord said to Joshua. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Onesimus was a broken man. He was a runaway slave. He ended up running into Paul in Rome, and Paul won him to the Lord. And Paul would send him back to his master with a letter. And he would say, I'm sending you back your slave, Onesimus. And I want you to accept him back. He rose up as a believer. So take a good look at where you are in life. Ask yourself the question, what do I do from here? It's what I'm doing right now. At 67 years old, pastoring here for 42 years, that's what I'm asking myself. Where am I at in life? What's the next step for Cheryl and I? We don't have any plans to resign or anything like that. I don't want you to get that idea. But where are we at? We could probably coast our way into those perpetual rocking chairs. But that's not us. That's not us. I may be tired right now. I hit my alarm twice today. I got home at midnight from camp, wrapping everything up. And my clock, I kept hitting it. I felt like the guy in the video, too, was it last week, where the young man kept hitting it and fell out of bed? That's what I felt like. Fell out of bed. But I want to tell you, it's a good tired. I feel good because I saw kids touched by Jesus this last week and these 3 weeks that nothing could replace that. Amen? Amen? Nothing could replace that. So where do we go from here? Cheryl and I are looking at that same thing. Number two, we need to seek God's guidance as to what we do next. And I've already said that. What do we do next? I forget his first name, I think it was Charles, but his last name you'll recognize, it was Welch. Once a month, you experience a little Welch's in communion. The creator of that Welch's grape juice, not just grape juice, but he discovered a way because he saw a need for a non-alcoholic communion. Many, Christian persuasions use alcoholic, they use wine in communion, but the Protestant church didn't feel it was appropriate. But they didn't have a way to have a communion juice that didn't spoil. Now, Welch wanted to be a missionary, but he was sick. He couldn't pass the rigors of the test of the missions board. So he said, what can I do? He began to seek God's guidance as to what to do next. And you can read the story, but he began to pray, and the Lord began to show him that if he couldn't go to the mission field, he could help send missionaries to the mission field. So he developed what we know today as Welch's grape juice that we use in our communion, and the proceeds from that, he helped send missionaries to the field. And I believe that if there are rewards in heaven, which the book of Revelation seems to indicate they are, and yet I think we throw them at the feet of Jesus, I think standing beside the great men of God that we understand, Spurgeon, Finney, Billy Graham, Welch will have to stand there too. He may not have gone to the mission field, but he made sure others could go, and untold thousands upon thousands were won to Jesus Christ because a man looked at where he was and rose up. Amen? He rose up. And so, where are you at? And God, what do I do next? What can I do for my family? What can I do for my community? What can I do for the kingdom of God? Thirdly, ask God for the courage and the wisdom to rise up. Lord, give me the courage I need. It takes courage, and courage doesn't always come easy. All of us probably feel like we're courageous, and yet when the rubber meets the road, maybe that courage seems to kind of leak out. And yet there comes a time when we work in God's strength. Amen? Or we work in God's strength, not ours. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia, I was talking to the Levine girls on our way to dinner one evening, and Cheryl and I were talking with them, and we started talking about The Chronicles of Narnia. If you haven't read it, it's a pretty incredible set of books that C.S. Lewis wrote, who himself was a skeptic and came to know Christ. And so he wrote this book, this allegory, and the main character is Aslan, the lion, and he represents Jesus. And the four children that are moved into Narnia, from the real world into Narnia, who was it? Peter and Susan and Edmund and Lucy, right? And we started talking about who was our favorite. And when I was preparing this, I thought of Peter. Peter, their father took place during World War II. England was being bombed. That's the way the movie starts. And the dad is off to war. Dad Pepinsey is off to war. And so Peter is having to take the responsibility of his siblings. And so they send them off to a professor's house, and it's there that they find the wardrobe, and they go in, and they find themselves in Narnia. And all of a sudden, Peter is faced with having to rescue his brother Edmund, who has betrayed them. Peter was the reluctant king. I don't think Peter ever wanted to be a king, but it was forced on him. And there are some times when your circumstances, they're forced on you. And you've got to decide, am I going to slump back or am I going to rise up? And in the movie, Peter is taught how to rise up. He's given a sword by Father Christmas. He's given a sword. And he says to those four children, he said, these are not toys. These are weapons. You're going to need them. So he gives Peter a sword, and he said, this time is coming very soon, Peter, that you may need this sword. And sure enough, the time came when he would fight the wolf, and he would win. And then he would be in battle, protecting his siblings. My mother was in prison for about, I forget exactly how long, 3 to 6 years. She was in prison because she had a couple friends and they were out joyriding and she was driving. And they said, take us to that market. Those friends robbed the market. My mother had no idea, but she was as guilty as them. I remember as a little boy, sitting in the courtroom with my grandmother as the judge pronounced her sentence. And I still to this day remember her in handcuffs, and she turns with tears in her eyes as she walks out to serve her prison term. I lived with my grandmother. My two little brothers were suddenly in my charge. I felt a little like Peter. And I still remember in that central Californian city called Ceres, watching over those brothers, having to decide, not much more than a little boy myself, are you going to rise up? And I had a grandmother, as you know, who was a very godly woman. And she said, little Eddie, I'll do my best to help take care of you, but you're going to have to step up. She handed me a sword, not literally, but she handed me a sword, and I had to make the decision. And so I would help take care of my brothers. I don't want to make the story, I don't want to make it sad, because it ended up fine. But even at that young age, I had to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I had to help take care of my brothers. But we won that battle. We won that battle because the God who calls you to rise up, whether you're a child or a retiree, will give you the strength that you need to accomplish what you need to accomplish. Aslan is always with us. Hallelujah. Jesus is always with us. The last thing I want to say this morning, the fourth thing, is finally, remember who you are in Christ. When it's time to rise up, you're more than a conqueror. You were made to rise up and not stay down. You were made to be courageous and not fearful. You were made to win and not lose. You were made to overcome and not be overcome. Like we sang last week, I am a child of God. I am who you say I am. That's how we rise up and accomplish great things for God. Amen? Great things for the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the encouragement of the Word to rise up. As the prodigal son said, I will arise and go to my father. As the Shulamite woman said in Song of Solomon, the beloved said, rise up, my love, and come away with me. Jesus draws closer to you. As Moses proclaimed to the tribes as he led them, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Father, help us to rise up and meet the challenge. If it's our family, it's our community, it's our spiritual life, it's the kingdom of God, whatever it is, help us to rise up. Help us to rise up and be men and women of God. Help us to lean on you for the strength that we need. Put a sword in each of our hands, which is the word of the Lord. And help us, Lord, use that to conquer so that we are not going to be conquered. Help us to rise up, whether we're younger or older tonight, this morning. Help us, Lord, to rise up and to accomplish what you want us to accomplish. There may be those who feel that they have little strength and they can't do much. But Lord, I'm reminded, as I said, of that little girl who gave me that dollar bill for camp. Little is much when God is in it. And we're going to take the little bit that we have and we're going to invest it. And you will multiply it. What little strength we have, we'll give it to you and you'll multiply it to much strength. What little courage we have, we'll give it to you and you'll make it great courage. Help us to be people who rise up. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's clap to the Lord for his word today. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday. God bless you. We'll see you next week in the house of the Lord. Thank you for coming this morning.